This week, I am speaking with Teresa Ghilarducci and Sia Rodpour about how the Great Retirement Surge was not associated with the Great Resignation, but by mass job loss by older workers. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 269 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. This week, I'm speaking with Teresa Ghilarducci and Sia Rodpour about how the Great Retirement Surge was not associated with the Great Resignation, but by mass job loss by older workers in the pandemic. Teresa and Sia are both economists with the Schwartz Center for Economic Policy Analysis, and they recently published a report called No Great Resignation for Older Workers. Mass job loss drove the retirement surge. The report confirmed many of our suspicions that the Great Retirement Surge was driven by involuntary job loss and was not by choice. Teresa's bio is as follows. Teresa Ghilarducci is a labor economist and nationally recognized expert in retirement security. She holds the Irene and Bernard L. Schwartz Chair in Economic Policy Analysis in the Economics Department at the New School for Social Research and directs the Schwartz Center for Economic Policy Analysis that focuses on economic and policy research and outreach. Ghilarducci joined the New School in 2008 after 25 years as a professor of economics at the University of Notre Dame. Her most recent book, Rescuing Retirement, A Plan to Guarantee Retirement Security for All Americans, offers solutions to the growing retirement crisis in the U.S. Sia's bio is as follows. Sivash Rodpour earned his PhD in economics from the New School for Social Research in 2020. His research focuses on the effects of the retirement system and aging on wealth and income inequality, well-being and economic growth, and redistribution. Previously, he worked as the research association for the Retirement Equity Lab. He received his MA in economics and business from the University of Groningen in the Netherlands, hopefully I got that right, and Corvinus University of Budapest. My discussion with Teresa and Sia clearly states some of the ugly truths on how older workers have been hurt during the pandemic. They acknowledge the elephant in the room that ageism in the job market is alive and well. This is an employer issue that only the employers can fix. However, before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help the members who are participating in this project grow and thrive. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out to figure out what they want to do in the second half of life and then make it happen. Let's hear what Deborah had to say about being part of the community.
I think the main things I'm getting out of the community are accountability and support. Just getting on every week and talking with people from the What's Next group and seeing the same people every week, watching everyone else's progress kind of motivates me to do more, and also feeling like, yeah, there are other people out there that are watching, and just motivates me to keep moving on my journey. And I also paired up with an accountability partner and we have calls every other week. And so we've been looking over each other's resumes and just talking about, you know, what we plan to do, what we're enjoying, what we're not enjoying. So I think just having somebody there to bounce ideas around with is really helpful. And also, I think as I've gone through this journey with the people in the What's Next group, we're getting to know each other. I feel like I'm getting great feedback from everybody because they can see things that I can't see. It's also nice to have people who are cheering you on, and they're going to cheer you on through your successes, and they're going to help you through your failures, and you're going to learn from other people's experiences.
I'm recruiting new members, the next cohort. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. Now, on to my discussion with Teresa Ghilarducci and Sia Radpour. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have the real joy of having two experts from the Swartz Center for Economic Policy Analysis at the New School, and that is Sia Radpour and Teresa Ghilarducci. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Mark. This is really terrific.
Well, you produced an article that's got a lot of us thinking. It's called The New Resignation for Older Workers: Mass Job Loss Drove the Retirement Surge. What I'd like to start is, what was the retirement surge and how do we know it actually happened?
First of all, thank you so much for having us here. Let me answer this one. So it's very difficult for us to decide, like when you look at any individual, any older worker, any retiree, to tell if this specific person was supposed to be working or supposed to be retired by now. So it's very difficult to look at each individual and tell, okay, this individual has retired early or this individual has retired too late. But there is one thing that we can do. If you look at the whole economy and the whole population, you can see how many people do we expect to retire each year in a normal year, looking at the pattern of previous years. And that's what we do, what we did. So we looked at the pattern in retirement in previous years and just projected how many people would have been retired in 2020 and 2021 and 2022 if we just followed the previous pattern from 2010, 2015 to 2019. And what we see is a huge jump in the number of retirements right from the beginning of the pandemic. Maybe initially it was a small, but as we went deeper into the pandemic, the number of retirees increased significantly. It went up to like almost 2 million people. And now that we're more than 2 years away from the initial shock where people lost their jobs, we see somewhere around like 1.3 million people are retired in excess of the number that we would have if everything was going as usual and we didn't have this huge pandemic and recession.
The retirement rate went up, and one of my fears was a lot of these people they retired out of necessity rather than because they wanted to and they were prepared for. So you have a whole write-up that talking about the pandemic led to a sharp increase in unemployment, which may have caused this. Can you explain that?
So many people got laid off in April and May of 2020, and a large number of them, historically a larger share than they would expect compared to previous pandemics, were older workers. The degree that if you look at the data, you feel like employers were intentionally laying off older workers rather than younger ones, because the share of older workers who lost their jobs was large. They experienced larger unemployment rates relative to mid-career workers, which was not something that you would see before, because typically older workers have seniority protection, have more like power in the organization. They know more people. So they have safer jobs compared to like mid-career workers. But this time, for the first time, we see they had much higher unemployment rates compared to mid-career workers initially during the pandemic. And then when we followed these workers, we observed that many of them retired. Many of them retired 1 year later into the pandemic because they didn't see any chances, like, or at least like decent chances at good jobs with good pays for them to have. So they just dropped out of the labor force. And that's what we call like getting pushed out of the labor force and involuntary retirement, because they didn't plan to lose their jobs from the beginning. It wasn't something they were prepared for, as you said.
Well, traditionally in recessions, we see older workers maintain their jobs at a higher rate than younger workers. But if they do get unemployed, they tend to be unemployed for a longer periods of time. One of the things I was concerned about was the fact that a lot of these people would just simply retire, but then they would unretire. And the longer they waited to unretire, the worse it would be.
Yes, definitely that's true. And the chances of workers finding a job, decrease with each additional month of unemployment. And that's true for all workers. Like the longer you're unemployed, the employer will look at your resume and it's like, okay, what have you been doing? Why other people didn't hire you during the past 2 years, for example? For older workers, it's even worse because there is age discrimination out there in the labor market. And with each year, you are in the territory that you face more and more age discrimination. So you are running against too many barriers. So longer periods of unemployment will hurt older workers definitely harder. But that's not the only factor. The older workers are at a disadvantage the moment they lose their jobs. Just imagine some workers, like some young 20-year-old, like 21-year-old right out of college who starts a job. After 6 months, they lose their jobs. They go and find another one. And yes, they will lose something, but during that 6 months, they didn't gather any knowledge of the firm. They didn't gather that much experience, so they can immediately start from scratch and not lose much. But for an older worker with like a long tenure of like 15 years, like just imagine that. You know so much about the job. You know so much about the company. You have acquired so many skills, and the company is paying you for all those skills probably. But then you lose the job. When you go to a new employer, they may not appreciate your skill and experience the same way. They won't pay what you deserve for those skills and experiences. So older workers, if they find a job, and many of them don't, if they manage to find a job, they will see a huge decline in their income because their skill and experience is underappreciated by the new employer. And that's why it hurts them so much when they lose their jobs.
Teresa, do you want to add anything to that?
Sia just nailed it. There is a lot of prejudice that is unfounded about older workers being more fragile, that they may actually get injured, that they can't learn as fast, that they cost more. That actually could be true. So we have to pay attention to those kind of stereotypes that have some truthiness to it, that they don't want to work as hard. Lots of behavioral, sociological, and human resource literature shows that older workers do take a little bit longer to learn, but when they learn as well as younger workers. Older workers are much more reliable than younger workers. Younger workers forget things all the time, but when an older worker might forget it, it's attributed to cognitive decline. So this overwhelming conscious and subconscious view of older workers, it's called bigotry, you know, or age discrimination, is really behind the explanation about why it takes so much longer for an older displaced worker to find a new job.
So for these folks who have been displaced and who have decided to retire, what are the characteristics? What's the demographics of that group?
So because so much of this early unplanned retirement happened because of the job loss, so you see a concentration among workers who had insecure jobs. So companies kept the workers who were like earning with higher earnings and more secure jobs, and let go of like part-time workers, those who were like in less secure, marginal jobs. So you will see a huge impact on part-timers, a huge impact on people in jobs with like more physical contact with others, physical proximity to others. These are not like the type of like secure office jobs that we think older workers might have. So these are like workers who are already vulnerable and in like more difficult, low paying jobs who got laid off. And now we see that they are having a hard time also coming back to the labor force. So they are out and they are, we see the excess retirement because of that.
If I could just summarize, it is mainly people that were in part-time jobs and jobs that had a lot of physical contact with others, mainly service jobs. So kind of, you know, part-time and low-paid service jobs. Those are the older workers most likely to be displaced. We saw some evidence that people without college educations were a lot more likely to be displaced. And people that were slightly older than the younger older workers were more likely. We didn't see any independent impact on Blacks, Latinos, Asians, or women. It was mainly if they were in a sector that was hard hit, you know, they were hard hit as well. What really stands out is the slow to come back. And what we are really concerned about, what the impact of their financial security for the rest of their life will be like. And then also like what public policy can be done to help this problem. Because if you're out of work before you're ready, you are poor or financially fragile for the rest of your life. And that will impact on taxpayers and just our societies. And we're also interested in what the older workers searching for work can do for themselves.
Quick interruption. If you are enjoying this podcast, please rate it and review it on whatever podcast player you are using. And more importantly, would you mind telling a friend? Thanks, and back to the podcast episode. Yeah, it's interesting. This last week, I spoke at a finance conference of treasury people. They mostly work for banks. And I had 500 people in the room, and I surveyed who had been unemployed, and of course, they were hardly touched by the pandemic. They were all allowed to work remotely. They were all brought back in the office fairly quickly. And again, I had the other Mark Miller on the podcast about 2 months ago when we discussed the one PBS NewsHour report done by Paul Solomon on the fact that there are a lot of folks who are retiring, and they're kind of doing it. I mean, they gave an example of a guy who was 75 years old and a bus driver, school bus driver. Perfect sense. He is not going to get in the bus anymore. He says, you know, I have my 45 kids that are like my grandkids, but I can't take that risk, which makes perfect sense. But then there were other people who said, I'm just going to go retire because.
Yeah, Mark, you know, there's a problem and we kind of reject it. These all make really nice little stories, yes. But the data just doesn't show that there are, you know, any significant numbers of 75-year-old bus drivers. It just really doesn't. Yes. It doesn't. It really makes for good media, you know, and yes. Good TV. But it's just not, you know, pardon my phrase, it's just not relevant for like what is going to happen to the economy, what's going to happen to the bulk of these older workers. You know, finance is actually one place that is pretty bad at retaining and hiring older workers. That's quite interesting. There are just some occupations that are very age prejudice, and there are some occupations where they are depending upon low paid older workers for their business model, like home health care. So it is really important, I think, for the CNI to realize that employers have a lot to do with this phenomena, and that's what I should call didn't get to is that much of this is the employer's choice, not the worker's choice. And we should be focusing much more on that.
Yeah, to emphasize on what Teresa just said, we looked at another survey that was conducted during the first year of the pandemic, health and retirement study. And we looked at who was impacted by the pandemic, whose employment was impacted by the pandemic, and how they were impacted. And our initial hypothesis, based on all these narratives that we heard, was that, okay, low earners lost their jobs stopped working because of the economy, but maybe there are some people who are like better off with lots of retirement savings who just decide to quit their jobs and stay home and retire. But what we saw was that almost nobody quit. And the few who actually did quit, and we are talking about half a percentage of older workers who quit, they were not rich. Most of them were actually quite poor. And because of being poor, they were in very poor health. So these are people who were maybe like your bus driver example, were at risk of like severe consequences of if they got COVID. So they maybe decided to stay home. But it's not, as you said, it's not really a choice. It's what they had to do because it's a lot of risk to go out there and expose yourself to the virus if you're in poor health with a lot of like pre-existing conditions.
But the bottom line, I think, Sia, is that we're trying to say that really wasn't the driver for all these people dropping out. It just wasn't the driver. It might have been the post hoc rationalization. Well, I really didn't want that job anyway. I'm at risk. But given the financial situation that older workers are in, donning a hazmat suit, you know, and going to work with a respirator, it was in their economic interest, and they would have done it if they could. But this might have been a one in a lifetime chance for employers to get rid of older workers. Again, age discrimination, and there's something about our system that makes older workers a little more expensive to hire, and that's because we have this crazy way of providing health insurance on the job. Older workers are, with experience rating, will cost an employer five times more than a younger worker. And so there is there's a perception that older workers are more expensive, and there's some reality they are too.
I worked for IBM for 22 years, and I left there in 2000, and we've seen the big dino baby remarks. And by the way, I went to college with the last CEO. So I didn't know her well, but we graduated out of the same Department of Computer Science. So anyway.
Well, the IBM is a really good example, Mark, of an employer strategically getting rid of older workers and their pensions in order to maximize profits. It's like the best example of where the employer is really driving this discrimination against older workers and the disparate treatment of older workers.
I actually left IBM in 2000 after they screwed me in my pension. They took it away from me and then they gave it back to me. And then I said, I don't trust you anymore. Yeah, I went to work for a successful tech startup. And through happenstance, it was the best financial decision I ever made.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's another issue, actually, that Sia can bring up, is that older workers are also denied what younger workers have. And that's to improve their situation by changing employers. You know, as a younger worker and a worker like you were in the tech field, being able to change employer is a really good way to improve your situation. And older workers, when they change employers, often have to get a job that pays a lot less than they do. I'm telling you these sad facts only because we have to face up to them and have public policy deal with them.
Oh, I'm a big believer in the fact that we have to admit, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. And the fact is, in fact, when I was speaking this last week, I told everybody who was over 50 in the room that you have a bullseye in your back. The fact is you have to plan on to say, what am I going to do if I'm 55 and I get laid off? And how am I going to recover and plan for that?
Yeah. So this is something that we see quite often also. We saw this in our research. Researchers at Urban Institute also find the same thing, that among people who retire every year, half of them retire because of reasons that are out of their control. They really can't choose that, okay, now it's time to retire, or now I want to continue working. No, half of people who go to retirement do that because they get sick, because their partner gets sick and they have to provide care, and many of them because they get laid off, even like away from the pandemic, away from high unemployment numbers, even in the best of the times when older workers lose their jobs, it's more likely for them to just go to retirement because, as you said, it's very difficult to recover from that.
You've got a section here, will retirees return to the labor force? And again, my counterpart, the other Mark Miller, just did a post on this, the fact that there seems to be some sign that they're starting to trickle back in.
So in theory, if you're an older worker and you're looking for a job, during the past 20 years, I would say, like, there, we never had such a good labor market, right? When everyone is looking for workers, everyone's complaining about, like, not finding workers. So, but that's all in theory. In practice, what we see is that, yes, some older workers are coming back, but it's nowhere near enough to make up for the for all the excess retirement that we have. I had to guess, given that I know most of these people were low earners with no retirement savings. So my guess is that, okay, now they're facing the inflation, they're facing all the costs, and they would love to come back and earn some money. So it's all depends on the demand, if the employer wants to hire them. So we see all the job ads, they don't say if they want to hire an older worker or not. Some of them do, if like some fast food companies said, like, oh, you're retired, why are you retired? Come work for us. But is that the job we want our older workers to have? Or like, are older workers willing to work for those like minimum paying jobs? Because that would be a huge downgrade for many of them. So that's the problem. We have a problem of labor demand, in my opinion, and we don't know if employers will be willing to hire these older workers who are coming back. If they do, there will definitely be workers who older workers who will come back out of retirement.
Well, this is where being a labor economist helps us out, because both Sia and I know that employers are always exploring, kind of like a three-year-old, like, what are the boundaries? And what they do is try to offer up jobs that no one else will take to the subaltern or marginal groups in the labor force. And older workers are a precariat. They are a marginal group. And they're testing whether or not older workers are so desperate. And there's some evidence that because they don't have pensions, they are, that they will accept these wages and hours and working conditions. And so we'll have to see if these low-paid jobs do get filled with this desperate group.
Yeah, there's no question in my mind that we have a real imbalance in the job market. We have 11 million job openings, but they're not, I mean, a lot of them are blue-collar, a lot of them are in-person, can't be done remote, and it just, there's a huge imbalance, and we're seeing just, we're living in weird times.
Okay, I wanted to add something to that last point, which is older workers are also more restricted. So when you're talking about imbalance and like jobs that don't match with people, like part of that is the skills, experience, expectations, or age discrimination. And another big part of that is that you want workers to be where jobs are. And sometimes you need a lot of mobility to like go from one point to another point. I'm from Iran. I came to the US to study, and now I'm working here. I consider myself a global worker. Wherever my job is, I will be there. Whatever in the whole globe, whatever country, I can move there. But that's not the case for a 55-year-old who has invested in a house and has a community, family members around around them. So they cannot easily move. They cannot uproot their lives and go to another city for a job. And when the economy changes, sometimes you see jobs disappear from one locality and appear somewhere else. And that is a big challenge for older workers who cannot simply just move and go somewhere else. Maybe it's easier when they want to retire because they're starting something new, but to continue working, it will be very difficult for them to move.
I've often referred to those as anchors. They can be dealing with a location, a house, family, kids, parents, things that will tend to anchor you down into a location.
So many things, services that you receive, your doctor, like local government. There are so many little things that you have to set up your internet again somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that can be such a big hassle.
Is this retirement surge, is it just simply a blip, or are we going to see more of it?
Well, it depends on the labor market. So what we see now is that most of these people lost their jobs early in the pandemic. And after that, of course, the job was continued and caused more and more retirement. But now it's not happening again. So now jobs are secure. In fact, jobs are more secure than they have ever been in the past two decades. So very few people are losing their jobs. So this type of retirement caused by job loss is definitely at its lowest point for a long time. Again, like even now, many people lose their jobs and many people will be pushed into retirement, but it's just following the normal pattern of every year. It's a horrible pattern, but that's what usually happens. So we won't see another like rise in retirement because of this. Again, it's hard to predict the economy and we have to see what's going on. If the inflation continues, and I don't think it will, but if the inflation continues to stay high, if the stock markets stay the same way they have been for the past few months, it makes retirement more and more and more difficult. So we will see fewer voluntary retirements and unfortunately more involuntary retirements.
When I talked to the other Mark Miller, we discussed there were a number of people on that PBS NewsHour where they retired and they said, boy, I'm in great shape. And Mark's response was they're in great shape until they're not.
Yes, exactly. And that's the important thing about like having some sort of secure source of income. Like people think they can count on their houses, they can count on their 401ks, but if they don't annuitize their houses, right. Sorry, their 401ks, they're always at risk. So that's why Social Security is so important, because it's safe. It gives you some relief that, okay, whatever happens, I will receive this income. That security is priceless.
Yeah. See, this is a good place to end this conversation. Thank you very much, Sia and Teresa, for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast. If someone wanted to reach out to each of you, how might they do that?
Teresa.Gellarducci at gmail.com.
And we'll put that in the show notes. And Sia?
For me, srodpour, RADPOUR at newschool.edu.
And again, we'll put that in the show notes. So thank you very much for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
What I hoped you got from this message is the great retirement surge was largely not by choice. And it was not even across our society. It's pretty ugly. And we need to acknowledge the elephant in the room that ageism is alive and well. This is a problem that needs to be solved on the employer side. How that will happen is, well, I don't have a clue. Take a moment, go to careerpivot.com, sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You'll get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community, which can be found at careerpivot.com/community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-269. You also can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places where podcasts can be found. In fact, this podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode, Repurpose Your Career podcast.